Support for KCUR's Up to Date comes from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, presenting A Frame of Mind, a new podcast taking a look at race in America through the lens of the museum's past, present, and future. Available now, wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at nelson-atkins.org.
This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Justice Horn has a message for young people. Run for office. He finds it ironic that current leaders oftentimes look down on young people who want to run by suggesting that they start out as interns. But it's the current system that those older leaders put in place, Horn points out, that led to the killing of George Floyd and the wrongful imprisonment of Kevin Strickland for 43 years for murders he didn't commit. Young people, he writes in a recent op-ed, must run for office to ensure policy is enacted to deal with the root causes of the many issues we protest. Now a candidate for the Jackson County Legislature and a community activist himself, Justice Horn is trying to become part of the solution going forward. Justice, welcome back to Up to Date. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I think a lot of people are trying to wrap their arms around young people and politics these days. Younger folks are seen as a group that's disengaged from politics and at the same time as a group that's at the forefront of major political movements. How do you view your own generation?
Well, I think it has been a situation that's been thrust upon us. When we talk about the protests that were last year in Kansas City, all the way to the climate crisis and civil rights and LGBTQ rights and the advancement of reproductive freedom. I think these have been scenarios and situations that have been forced upon us where we're not just able to be youth. We're not just able to just go to school without fear of, you know, our schools being, shocked and people going into them. So We're stepping up because we have been put in this tough situation to advocate for ourselves, to take on big issues, and to really, you know, step up to the plate and ensure that, you know, this isn't an issue that is for the next generation.
You know, the trends would suggest that things are heading in the way you'd like to see them, Justice. Tufts University found that half of Americans aged 18 to 29 voted in the 2020 presidential election. That's up 11 points from 2016. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't at all. I worked with a lot of phenomenal youth leaders and activists in the 2020 election nationwide. And like you stated, it was our generation who increased voter turnout in the 2020 election. So there's a lot of work being done. It may not be covered, but the youth are, you know, we have our boots on the ground and we're out there working to try and get our generation to have more of a voting block. And that will ensure that we have a seat at the table as well.
What else explains the increase in youth voting for president? What else is behind that?
I would just say, we're in interesting times, it's not only a global pandemic, but where we see the rise of just extreme ideals across the nation. We need absolutely everyone in this fight to ensure that we have a democracy that works for everyone, that allows everyone to vote. And like you stated before, a lot of our movements from the LGBTQ movement to civil rights to the women's suffrage movement were led by young people. And I think we forget that a lot, how young MLK was, how young Malcolm X was, and how young a lot of the LGBT activists were. So I think it is, on us to step up because we stand on the greats before us. But I just think it happens throughout history, and we're just seeing it happen again.
You know, also, I came across a poll of young people from Harvard last spring that found that young people were significantly more likely to be politically engaged than they were a decade ago. More than a third of 18 to 29-year-olds regard themselves as politically active compared to just 24% in 2009. Again, yeah. Is anything surprising about that to you?
Yeah, so I would think what we're seeing transition, and especially from my side, is a lot of young people, their first kind of battle with politics is through activism, is through standing up, organizing through the grassroots level. And, you know, their usual counterpart is those who are in elected office. And what my op-ed was is for the need for us to be in positions of power and that comes through elections and actually being elected. I think there's a lot of change that happens in direct action and protesting and in rallying in our city, but we need people who have been on the streets who understand that our policies need to reflect and state that Black Lives Matter, that we are uplifting and taking down symbols of hate, symbols of oppression. So it's kind of us moving to the next step, not only organizing and being a part of the process, but actually having positional power running for local government, because that is very important to young people.
You know, I sense from your op-ed that you're not satisfied, Justice, that you want to see more activity from your cohort going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. And this is, you know, what even drove me to run for the Jackson County Legislature. A lot of people here locally know what the mayor and the Kansas City Council does, but who really operates in darkness is Jackson County government and the Jackson County Legislature. If I was to be successful in winning my race, I would be the youngest person elected to the Jackson County Legislature. But more importantly, there are big problems that need to be faced at Jackson County, from the current state that our Jackson County Detention Center is, as well as how we go about taxing our residents through tax assessment, and it being just completely done very wrong, and all the way to criminal justice, all the way to how we are operating. I think, you know, I'm running for the county because it needs the most work, and it needs to be a government that centers the community and that just doesn't operate in darkness and move without accountability.
I want to bring another voice into our conversation, and that's Faith Rivera. She is running for Kansas State Representative for District 37. That's maybe famously known as a district that's now occupied by Aaron Coleman, a controversial state legislator. Faith, good morning. Nice to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 43.
43. That's still on the younger side, though, right?
Yeah, most definitely, especially if you see the legislature and the people that are there. You know, they still consider me young. I'm not as young as Justice, but yeah, definitely.
What's your interest in running for office?
Well, my interest is that obviously with Aaron Coleman, you know, he doesn't represent my district or my community or Kansas. So I wanted to run to be a voice, not just for, you know, his victims, but also too for my community. That's why I'm running as an activist as well.
Why is it important that younger people and women, for that matter, you know, get more involved in politics, Faith?
Well, you know, just like what we're going to go through in this next election is, you know, Roe versus Wade. I mean, there's so many men that are having these conversations at these tables that we don't have, that we as women or minorities and young people, you know, we're going through these situations, and these people that are making the laws don't have any influence or interest, or they don't know what's going on, and they don't know what it's like to be us.
I'm wondering about mentors, Faith. Do you have some in the political world that are helping you along the way here?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you. So I've read the book Lead from the Outside by Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a chapter in there talking about sponsorship and mentorism. And, you know, knowing that, you know, I might not be, you know, perfect for the job, but you know what? There are people behind me. Case in point, Chris Rogers, Lynn Rogers' wife, Cindy Holscher, Tony Martinez, who's a judge here in Wyandotte County, Christian Ramirez, who's a commissioner here. You know, it's not just one person that's mentoring me or sponsoring me, or it's a group of people that are saying, you know what, and all diversities that are saying, you know what, Faith, you know, you need to run. Your voice, it matters, because you're vocal and you've lived this life.
But Justice, I got the sense from your piece that there's also this sense that maybe current day politicians aren't as encouraging as you think they ought to be when it comes to getting young people to run. I mean, too many of them want young people to start out as interns, you write. What's wrong with that approach?
Well, I think it is just how we view young people, and not having, you know, there's this perception that we have a limited experience. And I actually argue against that. I mean, in such a short time, we are stepping up to get as much experience as we can while people are actively gatekeeping against us. But I really feel like we should be at the table when we talk about big issues that are going to affect the majority of our lifetime, from gun policy, from, as stated before, Roe versus Wade and reproductive justice, all the way down to the climate crisis, where scientists are saying we have only 8 to 10 years. That is my generation. That is my life. And we have to step up to be advocates of that. What kind of life do we want? What kind of community do we want? And I think the best place to get that start is through local office. I'm not saying young people need to run for president or run for U.S. Congress, but they need to be involved in local politics and in the local community. And I think that's how we also build the bench for the longevity of any party. We are now looking around, looking for U.S. Senate candidates or people to run for governor, but because we haven't built the bench through candidates at the local level, we're having kind of a drop-off of candidates and people who can step up for higher office.
Faith, do you think that younger people are intimidated by the idea of running for office?
I don't think that they're intimidated. I think that they don't know that they're able to. I don't think that they're engaged enough. And that's why it's so important, like people like Justice Horn and people, you know, young people that are standing up like Justice that are saying, you know what, I can do this. You know what? What matters to me is you don't know what it's like to worry about, you know, going to class and having to worry about, you know, gun shootings and your school shootings and your and you know, or, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, COVID. Like, I didn't grow up with COVID going to school. And that's what's so important is that we didn't, you know, me being 43 years old, I see Justice as, man, he's just great. Like his voice and his, because, you know, he having that voice for this, you know, for his generation is so important and working together. And we need as leaders need to know that we need to work together to listen to the, to, and encourage them to run because they know what it's like.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm visiting with a couple of younger candidates who are running for office in an op-ed that Justice Horn just wrote in the Missouri Independent, just raising the whole point of the need for younger folks to run for office here going into the future. You know, Justice, maybe that drives at a central question here. As are young people, you know, younger than 30, ready and able to deal with budgets and the big thorny issues that face so many governmental officials? I mean, I think a lot of older folks have questions about that, even if they always don't voice it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But, you know, I've gotten a degree from our local university, UMKC, and have gotten as much experience as I can. And I sit on, you know, over half a dozen boards and commission as a young person. But, you know, I think we also need to look at the makeup of our community. A big portion of our community are younger voices. We have a vibrant young professionals community here in Kansas City. As well as you look at a lot of the homeowners, they're usually younger families who have one or two kids. I know here in the district I'm running to represent, that's the majority of the people are, who aren't afraid to hand over the reins to someone younger. And I know, you know, we're going to continue to build experience, get more, you know, opportunity to grow, you know, a portfolio. But one thing I think you can't teach and one thing that young people have is tenacity and energy to get after it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to show up. We're going to continue to show up and, you know, learn and work after it and really take on hard issues. That is nothing against the people who came before me, but they are tired. You know, they've moved the needle, and it's on us to pay it back to them, to pay it back to those who came even before them, to come in with energy to take on longstanding issues in our community.
Faith, what about this concern that maybe older voters don't believe that folks under 30 really have the experience necessary to do the work?
I think like with Justice Horn and with other leaders that are stepping up that we're seeing in the communities, just like Dothelyn Tott, who's run for school board here in Wyandotte County, we're seeing that their engagement is crucial and it's exciting. So I really would like to say that I don't think that that's so much an issue as well as we're seeing them being engaged. I think we're finding out, like me, it's intimidating that these young people are intimidating, but they're intimidating in a great, excellent way. And I'm all for it. And I hope that this conversation, like conversations like this, only engages more people to listen and understand.
Justice, when did you get interested in politics? Because for as long as I've known you, you've been interested in politics.
Well, not that long. I would say when I came back from wrestling in college at Northern State University, I came back to attend the University of Missouri, Kansas City, where, again, you know, there was no one who wanted to step up to be student body president. So with just 3 months at UMKC, I stepped up. That's my family's alma mater. And, you know, it was kind of thrust on me, all the problems, all the issues, and, you know, all the opportunities to advocate for the students at UMKC. So I think, you know, no one's really ready for any leadership position. It is more, you know, I think a reflection of your character if you step up when it's thrusted upon you.
Were you ever discouraged because you're African American?
Oh, yeah. I think without a doubt, there are, with being a candidate and not only being someone in this community, you know, there are a lot of issues that, you know, are a problem when it comes to microaggression and plain racism. A lot of the comments I may get on, you know, online from people who don't actually say it to my face. But even, you know, I appreciate you bringing up that point, but how District 1 is drawn, it is drawn to stop at truce. So if I was to win this election, I would also be the first black person to represent Jackson County's first district. Hmm. Our legislature is majority white leaders. And when we talk about criminal justice reform or the future of the detention center or how we go about, you know, grappling with the rising crime rate, we need to have people of color and those who are disproportionately affected by that system at the table.
Faith, how about you? How did you get interested in politics?
Well, how I got interested in politics is I was a single mom, and for a long time, you know, I worked with I was hoping for a commissioner that would work, you know, that would make promises that she never kept. And so finally, when my children got old enough, I became more engaged in the community. And I would say this has been about 3 or 4 years ago that I started becoming engaged. And it was just being sick and tired of, you know, of the treatment that we get here in Wyandotte County. We're sick and tired of being abused and sick and tired of not having to stay and sick and tired of being pushed. So finally, I was like, you know, well, it's time. I need to push back and I need to have a say and I need them to listen to us. And so that's how I got started. It's for my kids, to be honest with you, and for my community.
Justice, I'm wondering how surprised you were at how involved young people became during the protests of George Floyd's murder and the Black Lives Matter movement. What was your reaction to the numbers that showed up?
Yeah, so, you know, that will be an experience I'll never forget.
I bet.
You know, that is, you know, you go out there and especially doing community work and mobilizing people, it's like throwing an issue and throwing a plan out into the abyss. And, you know, when we were down at the plaza and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Kansas Citians down there, you know, to me, you know, that showed me that, you know, this issue isn't just truly a black issue, but that every Kansas Citian saw that there was a problem, dropped everything, and just came out to stand in solidarity. I think our movement continues to have traction to this day, and we continue to push for change and hold leaders accountable because we built a coalition. It wasn't just black people, it was white people. We built a coalition of different socioeconomic statuses and even all the way out to different political beliefs. What we were all out there to say simply is that Black Lives Matter and that there is a problem in our country, in our community. And what that also showed is, you know, we have many names here in our community. And, you know, there was a lot of issue looking at what happened in Minnesota, but it was in our own front yard that people were getting tear gassed and shot with rubber bullets by our own police department. So I think showed that this problem, this issue, is everywhere and even hits home. So now people probably process. We have, you know, very high level conversations. But I think with movements and activism, knowledge is power. And what we did was educate a lot of people on the issues happening in their own community. So they now have the tools to advocate for themselves, to advocate for their communities, and advocate for a better community.
You know, Faith, this also surprised me. The Harvard poll that I alluded to a little bit ago showed that despite the state of our politics, hope for America among young people is rising dramatically, especially among people of color. You're Latinx. What was your reaction to that? Does that surprise you at all?
It's not really surprising because, we're seeing this, an engagement, like just as Justice and you were explained, we're educating, we're bringing this information out and we're putting it in front of people's faces. So, I don't really think it's the information that you give.
Justice, what's your reaction to that? This idea that hope is rising among people of color in this country.
I think that's, a phenomenal thing for, a country that has, continued to, put some people over other people. What we're all fighting for is, to have hope, to truly have an America where we are all seen equals and we have access to equal opportunities, access for upward mobility and access to just live, to just exist as people of color. And to just, grow old. I mean, we're hopeful to just live full lives. And, I think it's so important. Yes, national issues are important, but I think local politics, local issues in proximity are closer to the average person. And I think the most fight, the most, accountability, and the most opportunity for us to work in our community needs to happen at the local level.
Right.
But I think it's, our duty to give hope to our community and those who, came before us.
Justice, how often do people look at you and say, you're just too young?
I would say most time I walk in any room, I'm usually the youngest person.
So it does happen out there then, eh?
Oh, yeah, it does. But I think, again, what you can't teach is tenacity. And, I'm always open to listening and even changing my views. I know at, a very young age that what I know is not always right. And I need to be open to those who came before me, those who have more experience. And, I'm coachable. And I think that's a good thing as young people and for all of us to be that, no matter how old you are, be able to move and listen and change on any issue.
Well, that's the voice of Justice Horn. He's a candidate for the Jackson County Legislature. His op-ed appeared in the Missouri Times, not the Independent, as I mentioned earlier. Justice, thanks so much for your time. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Faith Rivera. She's a candidate for District 43 on District 37 on the Kansas side of the state line for a Kansas state rep position. Faith, appreciate your time as well.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Great conversation.
That's it for today. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll see you tomorrow.